Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara,
and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
I wanna be a billionaire so fucking bad. Buy all of the things I never had.
Joining me from the great state of Texas is the one and only Michael Musselman. What's going on, Gunner? What's up?
What's going on?
Nothing, man.
Before we get started,
okay.
Huge shout out to a friend of ours, Al Butler, just got selected for command of the Warlords.
Who are the Warlords? Is that a gang?
And two twos.
Two two?
Yeah, two twos. The Warlords, man. Come on.
Come on.
You knew that?
No, I didn't.
Brownsy's a warlord.
Is he? I didn't. I'm like, how do you know East Coast? I know West Coast.
Nicholson's a warlord.
Is he? They're all warlords? Oh my.
Yeah, they've got, I think Nicholson commanded 2-2 at one point.
I think you're right. I think his kid was in 2-2.
Yeah, his kid was in 2-2.
You know what? I'll tell you. Mike and I are both good friends with Larry Nicholson, Lieutenant General, United States Marine Corps. When he was the regimental commander of the 5th Marine Regiment in Fallujah, I was there with the regiment, and Mike was with 3-5 there. So his son deploys, and he's under his command. I mean, not that a regimental commander has much to do with a lieutenant command in a platoon. So he was going out to see his kid's battalion. So I was in there, and we were talking about something, and I said, so where are you headed tomorrow? He said, I'm going out to 2-2. I said, oh, are you going to see your kid? He said, I am. I said, so what are your thoughts? He said, I'm a little bit nervous. I said, what? Why? Yeah. He said, well, you know, I want him to be good, but I don't know if he's good. I mean, shit, he couldn't bring his bike out of the rain when he was a kid. Now he's going to be a rifle platoon commander in combat? I just hope he's doing good. I hope he's good. I hope he's a learner. You know, I hope he pays attention. I hope he's like all the things that you want. And so he went, he comes back, and I saw him. I said, so? He goes, he's good. He's all right. I said, how do you know? He said, I talked to his platoon sergeant. I asked him, how's he doing? And he said, he listens. He listens. He asks, and he listens, and he pays attention. So, yeah. So, but it's funny. You know, here you're a regimental commander in combat, but he's a dad too, right? And I'll never forget. He couldn't bring his bike in out of the rain, and now he's going to be a platoon commander. Good God. So, anyway.
Yeah, so Al's going to be a warlord, man.
You know what? I only met Al 10 days ago or so. And he's just a good dude. Friend, you could tell his relationship with Mike. He had been home from Okinawa for how many hours before he came over and said hi?
24 hours.
Yeah. So the bonds that you make, you know, somebody...
Well, Kylie, his wife, when we were saying goodbye, Kylie and me and Molly, their daughter, Molly is 14 years old, and I've known her since she was born. But so my daughter used to babysit Molly. I mean, my dad. I mean, so the kids, we'd known the kids for a long time, and it was really like oh, because Kylie, when I saw Kylie when I first got there, she said, you know, Molly asked if you did you come all this way to see her, and I said, absolutely,
absolutely.
You know, why wouldn't I? You know, so. But our schedules kind of messed up. She had volleyball practice, and then we had commands. And so we had breakfast the day I left, me, right. Molly, and Kylie. And we were laughing about stuff, and she's just, you know, just the stories I tell, Molly just, like, starts cracking up. Like, oh, my God, you're crazy, you know. And we just start, it's just the way everything works. But Kylie said at that time, she goes, you know, if it was anybody else, Mike, I'd be upset. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, Al's hung out with you more. The time he's been home, he's hung out with you more than he has with me. And I said, yeah, but the prize is, like Tina, you get to be married to a great guy. She's just like, oh, you know.
Here we go.
Oh, here we go, yeah. And of course, Molly's cracking up. You know, she just thinks it's the funniest thing in the world.
No, the congratulations, congratulations to him. And that's a big deal. It's not a small deal. It's first of all, as you know, commanding is a big deal in the Marine Corps, and it's harder and harder to do the more you go.
Yeah, 20. Yeah. Less than what, 24 battalion commands? Like yeah. 20, I think it's 21 or 24.
Yeah, and you get to be one of those guys, and so it's Marine Corps is just a small place, and so congratulations. He's a good dude though. You could tell just by the small amount of time that you know that we were together. I've got a couple emails. Yeah. Somebody wants you to comment. I was talking about earlier today. I want you to get your thoughts on it. And the email says this: Hey Mac, ask the gunner about to comment on your comments about the Marine Corps' first rifle platoon commander. My comments are essentially this. The New York Times did a big story on her, right? They sent their reporter, who's a former Marine, who I'm not a fan of, he wrote that Stranger's aircraft, his F-18 on that gun run, he wrote in the Washington Post that the aircraft broke apart before it hit the ground. It was complete bullshit, and he reported that. And he never came back and retracted it or apologized for his horseshit reporting. Anyway, so this guy goes to Australia to embed with 2-4, so he can do what? Report on 2-4? No. He wants a story about this girl. She's quoted a grand total of twice in the article. This long-ass article that the New York Times goes halfway around the world to get, she's quoted twice. The last quote being, I don't want this to be about me. This is about being a professional. So my comment was, I don't know her from Adam. The only thing I know is the way she's conducted herself. And she impresses me because if she wanted to
I've heard great things from Eric and other people.
If she wanted to do the world, you know, dig me tour, she had every opportunity. This is the first time you've even heard her name, right?
Well, I know who you're talking about. So what's the question?
So the question is, what do you think? So your thoughts on her and the
first
road?
First of all, I think I know who you're talking about. That guy is a piece of shit.
Oh, you know him?
And yeah,
ooh.
He's a piece of shit. And you know, the old proverbial, I would not if he was on fire. Yeah. You know, some people, I think, give up that whole, what they learned in the Marine Corps to get ahead in life. And majority of us don't. We don't ever give up the values, the honor, courage, and then the big one, the commitment to one another. You know, so you get assigned a story to do this, you would say, being a former Marine, I would have to remove myself because that's not right. I mean, this story should not be about an individual woman where we're, because they're trying to make something of it. You know, it's the whole poke, 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 wait for a response, and then right. we got a story. Oh, look at this. I can't believe that the Marine Corps actually allowed him to come in and embed.
Right. No.
You know, because she was actually quoted, Eric had told me, you know, we were talking about it.
Okay, so hold on. Tell everybody who Eric is.
He's the former division commander.
Eric Smith. Eric M. Smith.
I think the world of, and so his opinion to me does matter. So when he tells me that, you know, hey, she has really impressed the hell out of me and everybody else here because it's not about her. She doesn't make it about her. People want to make it about her, and she deflects it, and she doesn't talk about it, and she moves on. You know, so for this guy to come out and to continue to try and find the story, you know, and I know what this guy's doing because he's like, I'm just reporting the story that people want to hear. No, they don't. They don't want to hear it. They don't know it exists. You're the one bringing it up. Let it go, and no one ever asked for it.
No, Mike, you and I both know, he's reporting the story that is going to get his name all over the internet. And it did. And it did. And the funny thing about the story is when you read it, she's not. There's two quotes of hers, I think. In it.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Hell, she couldn't have been caught at all. But that's what these guys do. And this guy, for leaving the Marine Corps and taking that job and doing the shit he's been doing and the stories he's because he's an expert on the military. I get out as a lieutenant, and I'm an expert. You know? No, getting out as a lieutenant is just like getting out as a Lance Corporal. Okay? Just like it. Your experience level is pretty much the same. So you're not an expert in the Marine Corps as a lieutenant.
This might shock this,
I wouldn't even say.
This might shock
captain,
you.
As a captain, you are just coming into. But you're, as a captain, your experience in the Marine Corps, like big ticket things, is, boy, you're the bitch boy that goes gets the bagels and the coffee. Don't lie. Don't tell any lies because I know how it works. Or, you know, you're not even that important to get the bagels and the coffee. That's reserved for, in some cases, the lieutenant colonel that works at the Pentagon. And you think I'm lying. That's the truth. Yeah. You know? But, yeah, for these guys to sit here and to do these kind of stories and to try and drum up some type of, I don't know, what they're, I don't know what they're trying to do. You know, if
Mike, he's trying to get paid. About, he's trying to get paid more. That's all it is.
Well, he's trying to cause, he wants to cause that rift that can be in the center end. And then next thing you know, he's an anchor, you know, that's what he wants. You know, all of them want, they want to be recognized. They want the bigger and better job.
Yeah, that's it, right? So this story goes everywhere. I get on talk shows, I make a splash,
yeah.
And then I go back into my
now
editor, and I want more money now. I need to get paid.
Yeah,
more.
I demand more money.
Right.
Look at me.
Right.
I got my name. This is who I am. If you don't give me this money, I walk. That's where these people should come together and go, don't let the door hit you on your ass. Get out of here. And then when he goes to another place, they go, listen, I don't want your piece of shit. You're toxic and you're caustic. And, you know, so then they realize, wait a second, this is not working like the movies do.
Well, let me just tell you, he lost me at hello in terms of, the reporting, to speculate, right, when somebody gets killed and you're wrong and the anxiety that you cause the family, because Mike and I have a mutual friend that was involved in having to deal with the family, and I was talking to him a while ago, and I asked him what he'd been doing. He said he was working on that crash investigation, and I mentioned that, and he said, oh, trust me, we felt that. And he was wrong.
Yeah.
Why did he write it? He wrote it because it would make a splash. And now, and let me tell you, the sad part is that it works because he was writing for the Washington Post. I'm not sure if it's a promotion to go to the New York Times, but I think it might be. He's now writing for the New York Times. Right?
Right.
So it works. You don't got to be right. Just throw it out there. And to me, this is another installment. And so you see the big headline and what comes through her. What comes through in the article is her professionalism and her desire not to make these stories about her. And I don't know her from Adam, but God bless her. All right.
Yeah, I don't know her either, but I respect from what I've heard about her and what other people have told me.
Right.
They say the same thing. They all echo the same. Man, you know what? I'm wrong because here's a gal who's just wants to do it for no other reason other than, you know, she wanted to do it.
Yeah, no, she's, again, just
now, she may prove us all wrong and get out and write a book and do a story and movie and whatever, but, you know, I doubt it.
Well, you know what, and if she did, let me just tell you, based on what we've seen, right, to me, her talking about the experience, and she's from Indiana, she worked on a horse farm. We know those people, right, Mike? That's small town America, and it's one of the parts of America that we love the most because it's the values that we were raised with, and she exhibits
right.
Those. So you know, and if she wrote a book from that perspective, I'd read it. It's just like if General Kelly writes a book, I'll read that. I mean, I'd be curious to see a guy who's served that long and now goes into the biggest, I don't even know what you call it.
Okay, but we're not even talking about the same type of fruit here. We're not talking about apples and oranges. We're talking, that's completely different type of scenario we're talking about. This General Kelly wrote a book, and this female lieutenant wrote a book. I know a lot of people that wrote their books on their perspective, and people have come to me and said, dude, you need to write a book on your life, just your life in the Marine Corps. Why? Well, because people need, it's funny, you had a different adventure, and I said, but that's mine. And if I choose to share a little bit of stories with you, it's because I choose to. I don't want the whole world to know me and what I went through. For what? Why? Why is it important for people to know what I did? It's not. Little bits and pieces,
If you got to the point where, I would tell you, I think you have all these great lessons that you impart.
Wouldn't write a book.
When you talk leadership. Well, that's certainly your decision. I think it'd be a great book. I mean, and again, because the things that you say are universal truths about leadership, about caring for people, about being better. And I think that.
But Max, you and I have talked about this. The things that we say, we didn't make them up.
Right. No, you're right about that.
There's someone else. We read it from somewhere else. So the shit's already out there. Why? You know, I can see if you read a book that compels, that brings all of those lessons into one. But that's not how they turn out. You know, it's, again, your perspective. I get such a bad taste in my mouth from some of the books that I've read, some books that I'm in. And I said, you know, again, I didn't say that shit. I didn't remember. I didn't even talk to that guy. How did I get it quoted in there? How does that happen?
Right.
Gunner Mike Musselman is quoted by saying, no, I didn't. To say that means you heard me say the quote. You don't get it from, hey, what did he say? Oh, he said that? Gunner Mike Musselman is quoted by, you know, saying, no, that's not how that works.
Well, no, my point is that I think you do, always do, a great job in terms of common sense leadership stuff, and leadership always focused on making other people better and your duty. I think that resonates with people, and I know what you're saying, but
I would say if you need a book for the shit I teach you, then you got fucking bigger problems than I could ever fucking help you with. Because, I mean, you know, I'm not giving you, like, water parting, sky splitting kind of, I'm giving you common sense shit. And if what I'm saying is a revelation, then you're like, oh, the burning bush is spoken. You know what? You have bigger problems than I can ever help you with, my friend.
But, you know, they might have bigger problems than you can help them with, but I think it's important that you help them. That's just me, because let me tell you, as you said, right, all these things that you hear us talk about and say, as Mike said, none of it's original. None of it. But there's incredible wisdom in all of it. And that's the part that we would feel like, oh, I didn't make that up. No, but, you know, you're a preacher of it, and I think there is merit to that in spite of your denial.
Yeah, I guess what you're saying like that. Yeah, there's some little bit of merit there.
No, you know, like, just stupid.
Maybe
like,
the book would be like a pamphlet then. It would be really a book.
Yeah, it would be. See that, like, for instance, I want to write a book with a bunch of my friends, and I want them to contribute one lesson that they would tell my son if he was going to war, you know? And the title of the book is Things I'd Want My Sons to Know Before They Go to War. And it would just be my friends, and here's the format, right? It's this, then this. Give it some thought. One thing you would tell my son, you should know this before you go. What would that be? And when I've asked that, the answers are incredible because for those of you that listen to the program, we have incredible friends, and they think about stuff. and they're leaders, and they're unselfish men and women, and they're the kind of people you'd want to be around. But they all have very different opinions. For instance, a buddy of ours named Will Cosentini, when I asked him that question, he says, know how to deal with death. And when I say know, meaning how do you do a memorial service? How do you account for their belongings? Who does what? How much emotion do you allow? Because you've got to go right back into the fight. You need to spend some time and learn that. And you shouldn't learn it for the first time when you're doing it. And so it was like, wow. And then he went on and he told this story about how he, you know, about his battalion, 1st Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion, dealt with it during their deployment in 2004. And you're like, wow. Now, that's something that young leaders should read about, right, Mike? I mean, it's just like, wow. So anyway, just my thought. As you said, more pamphlet, you know, maybe 150 pages, and authored by guys that we know. So I'm a fan of those kind of books.
I'm a fan of books like Garcia.
Message to Garcia. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you. And you know what? And I'll tell you what, I think the importance of those books is young enlisted Marines will pick that up and read it. Here, son, read Clausewitz. Yeah, that ain't happening. Exactly. You ever go into a squad bay back in the day or into a barracks and see what kind of reading material used to be laying on WWF magazines, Playboy, you know, a lot of pictures. A lot of pictures. Not a whole lot of Foreign Affairs Monthly or Quarterly sitting on that table, no matter what. Another email. Mac, is the Gunner nervous about the Red Sox? They're annihilating everybody, including your beloved Yankees. Yeah, Mike, are you worried about that? Or are you...
Yeah, I know. Seriously, and in all no joking aside, I was just having a conversation about this show. They are. They're looking too good. You know what I mean? They're like, they're peaking too soon. It's like, calm down, boys. You know, the fat lady has not even warmed up her vocal cords yet. So I feel like they're going to be out of it. Maybe they know something that I don't, and maybe they think like, this is just a different type of warfare for them. They're just going to, you know, kill everybody. So then you walk up, just the intimidation factor facing the Red Sox. Like, we're gonna lose. It's the Red Sox. No, you make yourself a bigger target when you're this good, because they are. They're really good right now.
Look, I'm gonna tell you as a Yankee fan, they never lose. Okay. The Red Sox never lose. You wait for them to lose, they're down by, like the other night, they were down by 5 runs.
Down by 5.
Final score, 17-10. The Red Sox beat the Orioles. And you're like, are you kidding me? Like, this is a joke.
Yeah, how does this happen? Yeah. How does this happen?
Interesting. So you are.
I'm definitely afraid. I really am. I'm like, oh, shit, man. They're peaking too soon.
This is not how this works.
I'm like super happy for them. This is great. If it was a little cooler out, I'd be in the onesie, you know. I would be kicking it all over the place.
I saw the Red Sox onesie, by the way. I was in ironing a shirt for the little party.
And I had to show you the sacred shelf with all the Red Sox hats, though.
I saw a bunch of them.
Yeah.
I saw more Red Sox apparel than I would have liked to, trust me.
Yeah, I think the only place that's got more Red Sox apparel is the Major League Baseball store at Fenway.
here's another one.
But you did see the old North Star jersey.
I did. Mike, back to his Minnesota roots.
Minnesota North Star.
This email is entitled Amorosa. Never understood why Trump took her in. Did he not sit behind the big desk on The Apprentice and watch that hot mess? I don't know. I don't
I like Amorosa though.
I think she's a fool. Right? She's an entertainer, and why they ever took her to the White House, I think, is absolutely stupid. And let me tell you this. To take a recording device into the Situation Room of the White House...
That's a violation of.
Yeah, I don't know.
You go to jail that.
Yeah, I and that's like crazy shit. But again, you know you're on your way out, right? Now, this is civilian entertainer mind. Makes perfect sense. I need to record some of this stuff. I'll put it in a book, and I will crush it. There's a few million dollars, and I'm good for a while. Boom. And you like her. I'm surprised by that.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is,
I like her.
She is an exhibit in the argument for the sooner that the extinction comes, the better off we'll be.
No. I mean, shit. I'm that guy too. I'm the exhibit for the extinction of human rights. I mean, I think we all are in some degree. But I like about her is she's very confrontational.
Oh.
She doesn't back down. So I mean, she has a backbone. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean. She's a tough gal, man. She's been around. She's not going to take any shit off anybody. I like that about her. You know, but like, if you compare, like, she, Megyn Kelly, I didn't like Megyn Kelly when she was posing to be a conservative Republican. You know, I've never liked Megyn Kelly, but there's a difference. Megyn Kelly is a showboat. You know, it's all about Megyn Kelly at the end of the day. I think Omarosa is a little bit different. I think for her,
my God,
it's
I can't
a little bit about her.
I can't.
I mean, they're all like that.
I can't believe these words are coming out of your mouth.
No, but I think Omarosa is a little more. If she's wrong, she'll say she's wrong. You know, but she's a little more confrontational. Right? She's not afraid to get in that fight.
Wow, I don't know what to say. I'm speechless. I'm speechless. So next email. How about Peter Strzok finally getting fired after all these months?
Well, now Peter Strzok needs to go to jail.
Yeah. The question is, why did it take so long? Like. Did they just complete the investigation and the recommendations and all of that? So I don't. I'll be curious to see when this is all aired out, the process for it, and at the press conference, why it took so long. How the hell do you keep your job? The girlfriend, Lisa Page. She's an attorney. She's still employed by the FBI, I think.
No, I think she got her contract has been voided. She's a contractor. I mean, she's paid. Hey, let me ask you a question. What do you think would have happened to Peter Strzok if he would have been an FBI agent and done these same things during, like, their Herbert Hoover years?
Oh, they'd
He would have mysteriously disappeared off the face of the earth.
You think J. Edgar would have had him done in?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think he would have been part of the superstructure at, you know, some stadium in New York. Next to Hoffler or somebody.
It happens. Finally. Peter Strzok fired today.
Yeah.
Now
he doesn't get his pension, right?
Well, you can still be terminated. Right, and I don't know if his termination is characterized like our discharges are, and if that.
I think if it's for cause, though, right?
If it's for cause, then I don't think you get anything.
Yeah, I don't think you rate crap.
If it's for cause, so the characterization of your discharge, your termination impacts your retirement. That hurts, man. Email.
Yeah.
Hey, Mac, that turd Strzok will most likely possess his full pension and live happily. It is really demoralizing for these officials to get fired? Question mark. I don't know. Is that in fact? I don't know that that's a fact though. If he's fired for cause.
Yeah, I don't know how he got.
Yeah.
Booted.
We need to understand his discharge, and then we can do money. So, yeah, he did not help himself with that little appearance on Capitol Hill where he acted like I'm not taking this shit. What? Another email. I heard you two on Friday, and I thought about it over the course of the weekend, some of the things that you said.
Uh-oh.
Pretty disturbing.
About what? What did we say on Friday? I don't even remember yesterday.
Sometimes you guys can go to pretty raw places that the rest of us don't really know too much about. And when you do, it's jaw-dropping. Always appreciate your candor. Oh, we were talking about what you went through with the Botox thing. I was talking about Patty Horan and, like, your husband's shot in the head, and now you're mapping out his care to see if you can get him back up to being the person that he was. And the DOD and the VA say, well, these are what we have. Yeah, but the best treatment's over there. Yeah, that's not us. So I've got to go do it. Well, if you want that, then, yeah, you got to make a case for it and then bring it back to us, and we can evaluate it. Are you kidding me? Okay.
Right.
And there's no orientation class to say, okay, this is the way this system works, and this is all the information. We know you're busy. So you have this stuff. If you want to sit through the seminar, great. If you want to just take your stuff and go, great. There's no seminar like that. And then we got to Mike talking about his fight to get Botox treatment for his migraines that are the result of a traumatic brain injury and what life is like when you have to live with that kind of pain and it's chronic. And the misdiagnosis and all the rest of the shit you go through when you're involved in a medical system that's not very good.
Right.
So, and then we talked about suicide. I didn't. Mike did. And so I think sometimes that takes people aback.
Well, you need to talk about it. I mean, it's not a... I mean, that's the whole... I mean, why... We continue to make it taboo. As long as it remains in that realm, then, you know, nothing will ever good come from it.
Yeah, and I also want to give a shout out to Roger Goodell. You're an idiot, bro. The Broward County Police will not participate in a first responder ceremony that the Miami Dolphins were going to have because of the continued national anthem protest. You had a year to unscrew this shit. You've had a couple years to get your shit together, and yet the stories are the same. Congratulations, you're a bozo. Put the nose on. Good night now. Anyway, too funny. Another email. Mac, I was reading over the weekend about Glock and that pistol competition with Sig Sauer. I know you and the Gunner have talked about it before. Was the Gunner as surprised as the rest of us when Glock did not win? It is clearly the choice of most guys who do shooting in the Marine Corps. Yeah, were you surprised that Glock didn't win?
No, I wasn't surprised. I knew. It was one of those things, man. I mean,
the fix was in.
Sadly, sometimes the best doesn't win. It's just the one that, you know, it's just easier for people to understand as far as what actually gets out there is, you know, there's a lot of politics involved in it. I mean,
it's not just
sadly,
about,
but
it's not just about getting the best gun.
No, it's a lot about other things too. So
that's depressing.
Yeah.
Here's another email. Hey, Mac, Can we bust out a little bit of gun talk today? Ask the gunner why the ammunition solution to the 38 caliber sidearm wasn't something that somebody figured out. Did we not do ammunition back then? Did nobody look around and say, hey, maybe we should try this? Did hollow point ammunition not exist? Did ballistic research not exist? Did all that come after the M1911? I'm curious. Interesting firearms history.
It existed, but it was in its infancy. I mean, not like today where we have 3D Doppler, you know, where we can map bullets in flight and, you know, all that technology.
When are hollow tip bullets invented?
Oh, back, probably way back. I mean, someone realized real quick that if you punch a hole in the bullet, it'll expand better. But I mean, it really wasn't adopted till more modern times. You know, in the military, it was always shunned upon because they were called expanding bullets. And you couldn't use expanding bullets because they caused, you know, undue suffering.
Like the 50 cal? Sir, is it true that you cannot shoot the 50 cal against dismounted troops? It's against the Geneva. It's against the Geneva Convention.
Huh? Shooting someone, period. There's a lot of suffering involved. I mean, where are we drawing the line here?
Yeah,
you know, undue suffering. What's that mean?
The history. The first hollow point bullet was marketed in the late 19th century as an express bullet and were hollowed out to reduce the bullet's mass and provide higher velocities. In addition to providing increased velocities, the hollow also turned out to provide significant expansion, specifically when the bullet was cast in a soft lead alloy. Originally intended for rifles, the popular calibers of the day, it could also be fired out of revolvers. With the advent of smokeless powder, velocities increased even more, and bullets got smaller, faster, and lighter. I'm looking for legality. The Hague Convention of 1899 declared Declaration 3 prohibited the use of international warfare of bullets that easily expanded or flattened in the body. This is often incorrectly believed to be a prohibition in the Geneva Convention. It significantly predates those conventions and is, in fact, a continuance of the St. Petersburg Declaration of 1868, which banned exploding projectiles of less than 400 grams, as well as weapons designed to aggravate injured soldiers or make their death inevitable. NATO members do not use small arms ammunition that are prohibited by the Hague Convention and the United Nations. Whoa.
Yeah, but the enemies do.
Despite the ban on military use, hollow point bullets are one of the most common types of bullets used by civilians and the police, which is due largely to the reduced risk of bystanders being hit by over-penetrating or ricocheting bullets and the increased speed of incapacitation. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
The United States is one of the few major powers that did not agree to Article 4.3 of the Hague Convention of 1899, and this is able to use this kind of ammunition in warfare, but the United States ratified the second Hague Convention, which says, quote, to employ arms, projectiles, or material calculated to cause unnecessary suffering. What does that mean, though? Unnecessary suffering.
Know.
I guess it's for guys like you to interpret it and tell us. Yeah, Mac, here's what that means. All right.
It's crazy.
All right. So, do you have a time? Is there a father of, like, ballistic research? Is there, like, who's Oppenheimer for nuclear, you know, physics is kind of the father? Is there a father of ballistic research?
Probably Dr. Dr. Flackner?
Flackner?
Yeah, I'd have to get his articles out. He did a lot of autopsies on post-mortem gunshot wounds and did a lot of writings on them where he talked, about bullet placement, where it was shot in the body, what it does in forms. I mean, he did a lot of that stuff.
Hmm. And about when did he do that?
I don't know. I got a couple of his books, his books that he published about it. I'd have to pull them out and see what dates they are, but it was a while ago.
All right. Before World War II or after?
Oh, after. Definitely after.
Okay. All right. The. There's another.
And then the FBI became the lead agency on a lot of that stuff with their ballistics research facility when they stood that up and started looking into the science of the bullets and things like that. And ever since then, they've really become kind of the standard when it comes to all types of research when it comes to handguns and rifles.
Have you been to, do they have a facility? You were stationed there, mm-hmm. at Weapons Training Battalion.
Yeah, I used to work out of there every once in a while with those guys.
Is it pretty cool?
Yeah. Real cool. I mean, they all they do is shoot guns all day and do tests. They shoot armor, they shoot all sorts of stuff.
How do guys get assigned to that? Do they have like their own gunner program, where guys kind of go into the ballistic research, direction and training? If they have firearms program, how do those guys get assigned?
Yeah, a lot of them were firearms guys, instructors and stuff like that.
Okay.
But yeah. And, I don't know how they got assigned to it or how it works anymore, but. The guys that were there when I was there were pretty knowledgeable when it came to handguns and weapons and what they could do. And really, it was funny because a lot of that was, even with the science behind it, they came out with their findings were kind of it's going to do what it's going to do. There's really no way to predict it.
But the FBI, I mean, that's one of the things that, the FBI lab, right? You heard that, you're like, ooh, the FBI lab says this. Interesting. Another email. Mac, I missed the first couple hours, just tuning in right now. Did you guys talk about the Unite the Right rally in D.C.? We did not. Look, those people are idiots. The only people, we talk about... What you see on TV is not the United States. Nobody is paying attention to them, except your nation's media. Other than that, they're a bunch of freaks, right? That are living in New Mexico, training for Armageddon or some shit like that. It's just stupid stuff. And they get a national forum. They get via America's media and their desire to put on Jerry Springer shit. They get a forum that they could never ever get otherwise. Congratulations.
Right.
We all lose. Idiots. So, did you do anything exciting over the weekend?
No, just relaxed.
Yeah, I did post-expeditionary relaxation over the weekend as well. I need a little Mikey time.
A little unwind time.
Yeah, and plus I had to clean my house up. My kids stayed here. I won't say they thrashed it, but it was not clean to my specifications. So did some cleaning, which I like. Caught up on some laundry. Reorganized my office here. Did a little work on a studio. And hey, let me ask you a question. If I got you a microphone. Like, would you ever, like, a couple days a week, would you sit at your computer and use it if the audio quality was better? Would you do that? Or would you like...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You would? So, and then, I'd be curious, Mike, if we tested Skype to see if the audio is better.
If the audio is a lot better than the phone? It's got to be better than the phone.
Yeah, it is normally better than a phone, especially if you have good internet connections on both ends. The audio is pretty good. So I'm gonna work on that. So anyway, all right, man. Anything else exciting going on today that we should know about in your life?
No, just the rain has been coming down. It's been good.
How are you gonna solve the birthday cake issue?
Oh, I'm gonna head out here as soon as we're done and go to the HEB bakery and have them do something.
The ATB bakery?
Yeah, the HEB.
Oh, is that the name of it?
Yeah, HEB grocery store.
In beautiful.
They got great stuff, man.
In beautiful downtown. I can't even go to a bakery. I can't eat wheat.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Can no longer ingest wheat. I have like allergic reactions to it. So, yeah, and you like how many things? So I went to buy soup over the weekend. This tomato bisque soup that I like, and so I'm reading the ingredients: enriched whole wheat flour. I'm like, shit, man. Does anything not have wheat in it? Answer: no. Everything has wheat in it, especially the things I love.
Yeah,
baguette.
That's like having a butter allergy.
But baguette with butter on it? Oh, come on, man. That stuff's awesome. You know, sandwiches? No. Right? Tortilla chips? No. So you gotta try to find things that are made out of, like tortilla chips made out of beans. Because, you know, tortilla chips, what are they for? They hold salt and they hold, salsa and guacamole. That's what they're for. Okay, so you got to find something like made out of like beans or something, and there's more and more stuff that stuff on the market, but it's a total pain in the ass. So anyway,
that sucks, man.
Yeah, it does. Okay, and I denied it for the longest time. No, it couldn't be that. And then I started eliminating some of that stuff from my diet, and I'm like, oh, it is that stuff. So yeah, I'm that guy. So exactly. All right, man. I will talk to you. Have a good day. Good luck with the cake.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
There you have it. Michael Musselman, the one and only here on a Monday. I forgot which day of the week it was. On a Monday edition of Allmarine Radio right here. That'll do it. But don't touch that dial. This program repeats itself. And it's a good one. Hour one. Are we a more racist country than we used to be? Yeah. If you think so, you're stupid. Boom. How about that one for you? What? Yeah, there's an article. I don't know. I saw the headline. 30% of Americans think the country's more racist than it used to be. Clueless. That's testament, I said a while ago, that... That's a brick in the argument of Mike's discussion about the end of the world can't come soon enough. Straight up. If you think that that's true, then you haven't been around long enough. And check out, just Google mixed. Mixed race U.S. population. Do a search on that and see the articles you get back. Yeah. Another email. If she took a recording device into the Situation Room, I think that she certainly can be prosecuted. It will be interesting to see what comes of that. Let me tell you, if they don't, and if we're now to the point where the rules aren't the rules anymore, that we're not going to apply them to her because, you know, God forbid we should do that, then life without rules, life without consequences, just a money grab. Do what you want. None of it matters. So if the rules apply, then they should apply to her. If she violated those rules, bring her back on active duty and court-martial her. Nuts. The race nuts hole up in Idaho. Apparently, New Mexico is for jihadis training kids for school shootings. Yeah, again, that's not the United States. That's these goofballs. And I would say they're holed up. Those goofballs, they're all over the place. You'll find them if you care to go looking for them. But you know what they are, in my opinion? They're people that have mental health issues. Yeah, I mean, come on. And like I said, over the weekend, that just gives them a forum for it. Puts them on the national news and all that. But again, the Jerry Springer Show comes to you on a daily basis, courtesy of CNN, MSNBC, and the Fox News Channel. Shut it off. Okay? Well, you know, I'll tell you what you can do is that just leave the, if you're a news person, leave the monitor on. So if you need to see a headline like Peter Strzok fired, you'll see it. But leave the volume down. So it's kind of a scroller. Yeah? Yeah, it's kind of a news awareness device. You're not listening to what they say. I would tell you that's quality of life. That's quality of life advice from Allmarine Radio. So, have a great day. So, yeah, we talk about that. We talk about there's the first female infantry officer in the Marine Corps, I think, has impressed everybody that's kept track of her in the way she's gone about proving her professional credentials under more scrutiny than is fair. So, you'll hear my thoughts on an article that was written by the New York Times. Yeah, you'll hear that. And then Mike Etor joins us. Mike is the founder and CEO of Fidelis Leadership. He's a Leftwich Trophy winner. That recognizes the top company-grade leader in the Marine Corps. So Mike, recipient of that. And if you were in, when Mike was in, you more than likely heard about Mike Etor. He had an incredible reputation. His company, Fidelis Leadership, is doing a program in Florida next week, St. Petersburg, from the 20th to the 22nd, called the Fidelis Leadership Accelerator. So on the premise that the millennials in your company will be running it within the next 10 years, get them the leadership training they need. So you can go to the website, FidelisLeadership.com, and if you click on events, you'll see all the information that you need. And Mike is a great guy. And the interview with him, we talked about the FBI, as a matter of fact. And he talks about he has friends in the FBI. Gives you a little insight into what they've told him. So so interesting. And then, as always, the gunner. Always, always interesting. So have a great afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.